Coming up this week on the Vacation Land Podcast, changes are announced to the way that you park at the Disneyland Resort. Hello Kitty and a ticket price increase make their way to Universal Studios Hollywood, and we now know what will be replacing a fan-favorite lounge at California Adventure. Plus, we wrap up our 2018 preview by taking a look at Disney's California Adventure Food and Wine Festival, and Diane's here to give her thoughts on SeaWorld's Lunar New Year celebration and the Seven Seas Food Festival happening at San Diego. It's festival season in the park, so pour the wine and cut the cheese. This is the Vacation Land Podcast. This is Vacation Land for the week of March 12, 2018. Visit our new travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris, C-A-R-I-S-S dash Milano, M-I-L-A-N-O. And again, that's our new travel partner. We are going to be working with Caris, and coming up in a couple of weeks, whenever we don't have a show coming up, we did an interview with her, and it's going to be the next in our Beyond the Pod, Beyond the Parks series of podcasts. So hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacation Land Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from around Southern California theme park scene and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of the Vacation Land Podcast, and this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and our Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strottman. Hi, Brandis.
Hello.
Replacement John and contributor John Strottman. Hey. And singer, actor, and SeaWorld reporter, Diane Hopday. Welcome back, Diane.
Hello. Thank you.
All right. So this weekend, Friday, I took a trip to the DCA Food and Wine Festival, and we're going to be giving a short preview of that along with some recommendations. It was a lot of fun. I only had a couple of hours there, and I was mostly there so that I could get some content for. We're going to be putting up a new video on YouTube, hopefully, this week. Diane, I know you're an annual Disneyland annual pass holder. Have you been to the DCA Food and Wine Festival yet?
Well, Chris, to tell you the truth, I haven't been since December.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I don't understand, Diane, with a why. Why would you not go?
Well, first of all, my pass expired in December and I wasn't at a place where I could renew yet.
Okay.
Plus I knew a lot of downtime for a lot of attractions and areas and upcoming things, and I kinda wanted to parlay my visit till later.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm gonna let the hype.
Yeah, we talked about that with my friend. So I went with my friend Karen, and so she's gonna make an appearance in the video that you'll see later. But we talked about that. So she had some family coming in from out of town, I think in January or February, and she told them, "Do not go to Disneyland in January or February." And they were asking, like, well, why? Because it's, you know, it's not busy. There's, you know, nobody's in school, blah, 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 blah. And so she says, well, because nothing is open.
Yeah. Okay. So we went too long ago.
We went in February. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot. You know, every time I go to Disneyland, Splash Mountain is always closed. And then they always shut things down towards the end of the day. Like Space Mountain, they shut down at like 5. It was like super sad.
Interesting. I wonder if it was just
It was a temporary thing.
It was a temporary thing,
but
yeah.
But we had to leave before they set it back up because somebody was sick.
Which it wasn't me.
And
it
by, was, yeah, by, it was by like somebody being your children.
Yeah, but I mean, man up, dude. Like, it's Disneyland, you know? Like,
no, I actually.
Mom and Dad paid a lot to get here. Clean up the vomit. Let's
seriously.
Go.
No, I liked that so much was closed. Not because we got to miss it, but it forced us to go on things we don't normally go on because we go once a year. Our time's limited. With kids, they want to go home and go to bed weirdly, but
I think it's because they're super spoiled and like, cause we have Knott's passes, so we go there pretty fairly often. And I think like the whole, I feel like it's really for me and Brandy. Actually, now that I think about it,
but Disneyland, cause we went to Disneyland the day we got married. And so it's always special. And actually that day, our other son was sick.
Yeah. There's some kind of like,
maybe they're allergic to Disneyland.
Yeah. I was so worried the night before. I'm like, we're supposed to get married and he's throwing up. What are we going to do?
That's it. Just us at Disneyland now.
We have a friend. My wife and I have a friend that, so she tries to plan these awesome theme parties. So I forgot what the one was a few months ago, and she had one planned for the Oscars. And every time she has, she does these plans for like these awesome theme. Oh, she was going to do a latke and, Hanukkah party back in, you know, during Hanukkah time. So we were going to play dreidel. We were going to have latkes. And then, so that didn't work out. And then this last time her son, who was like two, but she was going to have this awesome Oscar party and they were going to have ballots. We were all going to dress up. Nope, totally sick. So we've come to the conclusion that that kid either doesn't like us or is allergic to us.
Or maybe that's just their excuse.
Well, maybe that is.
Parents do that all the time.
You're right, John. Maybe that is their excuse. All right.
Chris, I heard when you got married, didn't you have some kind of special theme to your wedding?
Yeah, it was like a travel. We had like a 1950s travel theme.
Dude, it was so all Route cool. 66 and so much fun. Diane with a Y was there. Diane with a Y actually drank that night.
Placement John wishes he knew you then, and I would have been there for sure.
If we had been doing this back then, you guys definitely would have been there, because when we loaded, so we did a lot of it ourselves, and when we were loading all of our, so we bought a lot of the venue allowed you to bring your own alcohol in and charge you $50 for the night for a bartender or whatever. And when we offloaded into the venue that morning, the bartender looked at us and went, "You guys have a lot of alcohol." And we go, "You haven't met our friends." And so then by the end of the night, I mean, we're in a four corner room. We had the corner full of alcohol behind the bar. And by the end, he looks at me and goes, "Oh, you guys got rid of a lot of that." I'm like, "Yeah, I told you."
What's funny about weddings and a lot of alcohol? Well, what I find funny is at the end of the night, you know how everybody's like dancing?
Yep, yep.
And that's just hilarious to see like the people that don't normally dance like.
None of them did.
But that's,
it's
but
okay.
That's why. That's why you buy the alcohol. And weren't you a B or a bassist?
I'm a musician, but it's different. Like when you're playing, you can stand behind. It's like you're safe by this guitar in front of you, right? So it's really not. I don't know. It's different. Just trust me. Watch. I'll dance right now. You'll see. You'll laugh.
It's a podcast.
Oh, I meant you guys. All right.
We're not video quite yet. So, all right. Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's start park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Right. So park hopping is our news segment. But John, you're going to kick it off for us today. What's going on with parking at the Disneyland Resort?
Well, Christopher, I'm excited to help jump into this here. Okay, so parking changes at the Disneyland Resort, and it's underlined and bolded, so this is serious. Okay. While space
That's
is,
how you know.
but it's not in italics, so I don't know. Anyway, okay.
That means less intent. Oh, so
it's not the title of something if it's not intent.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Okay. While space is being cleared for the new parking garage, the tram to Disney's main entrance, I don't know how to pronounce this word, Chris.
Esplanade.
Okay. And downtown Disney is on a new route, if you will. As a result, security checkpoints have moved under the current parking structure during the construction. Visitors parking in the Mickey and Friends structure will find that Disney has moved its security check and tram loading inside the parking garage, taking over the former Chippendale parking area on the south end of the structure. The move is the first step of the construction process as Disneyland builds a second parking structure on the site of the now closed Pinocchio parking lot just south of Mickey and Friends. Whew, big sentence there. Okay. Parking for recreational and oversized vehicles is now only allowed at the Toy Story parking area, located south of the West Catella Avenue and South Harbor Boulevard intersection. Parking at the other location designated for the theme parks, hotels, or Disneyland, downtown Disney District is not permitted. Accommodations for overnight parking will not be available.
Right. So this is actually, this was a big, big deal when it came out a couple of weeks ago. The former oversized parking, me and Pierre have been debating it, what was going to have an oversized parking. So it sounds like they're sending them over to the Toy Starter lot, which is the surface lot off of Catella. And
oh, is that the one where it's like in the, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one we parked in that one year. It was pouring ridiculously. Okay.
Yeah. It's just south of Harbor and Catella. Yeah.
Do they park there? Do they, like, when it's like not busy, do they have people park there first? Do you know?
Usually they have you park in the parking structure till a certain amount of time. So okay. Until about 10 o'clock, and then they'll close it off, and then they'll send you down the street over. It's over by the convention center.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, I'm going to lie. This was super weird when I got to do this. So, you know, this has been open. This parking structure has been open since 2001. It's been almost 20 years of this parking stuff, you know, doing this parking structure like this. It was opened in anticipation of the new theme parks of California Adventure and Downtown Disney. And there's been a lot of changes, but this is probably the most significant one. I think it's a good change. You, in the past, as they've been working on the tram loading area down, so you come down this set of escalators, you've never been there before, you come down this set of escalators, and then usually it used to be you would go straight ahead, and on your left and on your right, there was a tram loading area and trees and sometimes magic and happiness and, you know, cranky people, you know, not enough trams.
Cranky dads for some reason.
So that's how you would load the tram. So then as they started working, the first thing you notice when you come down the escalator is that that old surface lot, the Pinocchio surface lot, is gone. It's the dirt pile now. And so now you come down the escalator and they were having you wait for the tram right outside the parking structure. And they were still trying to do the same flow as previously they were doing. And that, I think they got a lot of complaints because you had to actually wait in the sun for these trams to come around and out in the elements. And so I've always wondered why they didn't do this sooner. But now you actually come down the escalator, you make a quick U-turn. They have the what they call the Pluto units, which is the police dogs out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a
I didn't know they were Pluto units.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're referred to as.
I actually made a joke when we were there.
I was just going to say that.
I was like, oh, Brandy, hide your drugs. And then like the guy like went from way over there. He like came right at us.
We've
like,
got
oh,
our man. Kids in tow. And he's like this, like walking the dog around us. Like, can't take a joke.
No. No.
Yeah, trust me. I work for the PD. They don't take jokes.
Well,
yeah.
It's not like we said bomb.
It was a stupid joke though, so.
Yeah, they have very little sense of humor when it comes to stuff like that.
Fair
I
enough.
I have
fair
learned.
Enough. Yeah.
So now they have the dogs as you walk, you know, then you go underneath the parking structure to what used to be the world's worst parking section, which was the Chip and Dale lot. It was the dumbest place to put up. It was under, so it's the first floor underneath, but you would have to, used to be have to cross the street and then go in, and it just never made any darn sense. But now, so you go underneath, you go through the metal detectors like normal, and then you wait for the tram in this beautiful, you know, covered area. And it's actually really nice. It's actually really well done. So if you are on your way to the Disneyland Resort in the next, probably in the next year or so, I'm going to imagine that this is actually a welcome change to making people wait out in the sun and out in the elements. And I kind of always wonder why they never just made that the tram loading area.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Rather than this super useless parking area that nobody liked. It's where it was a lot of the handicap accessible parking, but they have that on every floor. So, yeah. All right. So we have what's going on at Universal Studios. We're going to send it over to Brandis. Brandis, what's going on?
Okay. Universal Studios Hollywood raises prices and introduces new Hello Kitty experience. Well, does Hello Kitty really warrant higher prices?
I don't know.
Dude, Hello Kitty is a multi-billion dollar, like,
this
people
isn't
love
Japan.
It.
Again, well, this was, when this came out in the news a couple of days ago, this was a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
There used to be shops in the mall that were, like, straight up only Hello Kitty.
Isn't it, is it not at South Coast anymore?
That's right. I don't know, but.
We were just there and I don't remember seeing it.
I mean, I don't know what to
okay.
tell you.
Universal Studios Hollywood raised its daily ticket price from $120 to $129. That comes to more than 7% increase in ticket prices, according to KTLA. For those listening that are not in Southern California, that's our one of our channels.
I think that's kind of obvious.
The park previously hiked prices by $5 last year, according to the Los Angeles Times. Prices for annual passes at Universal rose by about $10 this year, as well, the Los Angeles Times reported, KTLA noted that the price increase while following Disney's price hike by a few weeks, comes just months before Universal Studios Hollywood opens a new attraction based on Kung Fu Panda, the 2008 DreamWorks movie. Hello Kitty joins Universal Studios, taking up residence at the entertainment capital of LA in the theme park's all-new and now open animation studio store. In true Hollywood fashion, the spotlight shines brightly on Hello Kitty and her friends from Sanrio, including My Melody, Kuropi, and Choco Cat.
I love Kuropi.
I know. I had a Kuropi mirror when I was a kid. I loved it.
No way, I did too.
No, you did not.
You don't know.
Yeah, I do. Shut up. Okay, as they star in a selection of the park-exclusive merchandise, including accessories, apparel, stationery, souvenirs, and collectibles. An array of delectable confectionery, prepared fresh daily, is also available, including super tasty treats as Hello Kitty, Choco Cat, and Kuropi-themed s'mores, and a variety of Hello Kitty-themed fudge, cupcakes, and caramel apples. Highlights of the exclusive product offerings feature designs incorporating Sanrio characters into classic Universal titles such as Jaws, E.T., Back to the Future, and more, as well as the group enjoying a variety of Universal Studios Hollywood-themed park attractions, from the world-famous Studio Tour to Jurassic Park The Ride and King Kong 360 3D. New park-exclusive merchandise will be released regularly. The shop also features the popular Hello Kitty Build-A-Bow display, inviting guests to customize their design from a selection of colorful bow options. Guests purchasing any Sanrio items will also receive a complimentary Hello Kitty Hollywood-themed temporary tattoo, which mirrors Sanrio's small gift, big smile philosophy that is demonstrated globally across Sanrio's retail stores and special events. Hello Kitty will also make special appearances just outside the entrance of the animation studio store, making her Hollywood debut in a red pleated dress embellished with film strips. Hello Kitty will meet and greet fans near a collection of Sanrio themed bushes. Bushes. Including My Melody, Kuropi, and Choco Cat, and window displays featuring the characters making movies and enjoying the Universal Studios Hollywood experience.
Although topiary would be also acceptable.
Topiary.
In addition to Hello Kitty, the animation studio store will feature an array of merchandise from Illumination Entertainment Films, including Minions from the blockbuster Despicable Me film franchise, and DreamWorks Animations, including memorable items from Kung Fu Panda. A selection of products from other favorite animations will also be available, including Dr. Seuss, Scooby-Doo, Curious George, SpongeBob SquarePants, and The Simpsons.
Wait, he lives in a pineapple under the sea, right?
Yes, but he visits Universal.
He's on
Studios.
Vacation. Yeah. Oh. All right, so let's tackle this. I kind of combined two stories into one there, but let's tackle this. So it's, I think I mentioned this. I used this analogy last week. Anytime Disney raises ticket prices, it goes without saying, this is pretty standard, about a week or two later, Universal says, hold my beer. And, you know, so, yeah, and for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that Universal is not worth it, but for whatever reason, there's just not the, every time Disneyland raises their prices, people
it's
go
like
nuts.
It's like Disney's the big brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Disney, everybody goes nuts and everybody loses their mind, and social media's, you know, Facebook and all these news stories are flooded with people like, oh, how dare they raise their prices? And then a week or two later, Universal will raise their prices to just equal with Disney. And, you know, whether you think that's worth it or not, there's just not this sort of rending of teeth and, you know, rending of hair. And
so they kind of do Disney a favor in a way. They take the spotlight off them.
No, you know, the thing is, though, is Universal's annual pass is just like, what, $10 more than their ticket price, unlike right. Disney. So them raising their price is not really a big deal because you're like, well, I'll just pay $20 more and go several times a year. Whereas with Disney, that's not an option.
Right. You can't do that. You can't exactly do that with Disney. Okay. So, I mean, so there's that. So there's the ticket price thing. And again, you can, sometimes they'll do their buy a day, get a year, you know. So I'll ask you guys, because I know Brandis, you go to, at John's favorite event, your Harry Potter, listen to the other episodes, find out what John's about.
Not funny.
So you go to your, you know, you do your Harry Potter weekend there, or, you know, but, so does this affect you in any way? Do you think twice about buying that Universal ticket, or are you going to go get your Hogwarts on and?
Yeah. I mean, it's $9 more. So it's not a big deal. And like, yeah, I just go once a year with my girlfriends. But I was actually thinking this year of getting the annual pass, at least for myself, because I go with my friends, but I wanted, John hasn't been in years, so I want to take him because I really want him to see the studio tour. And our son's 11th birthday is coming up, and you have to go to Hogwarts on your 11th birthday. He has to get his wand. So it doesn't, yeah, the price hike, it doesn't affect, I mean, it affects me like, what, $9? And I might be spending more for the pass. So it's, it, I don't. Yeah, the thing
money is
I,
no concern to her.
Yeah, no, the thing that's more concerning for me is Hello Kitty doesn't fit into Universal Studios. I'm so confused.
Okay, so we're gonna get to that, and then I'll toss it really quick over to Diane. Diane, what do you think? Do you have any opinions on the ticket prices? Are you big Universal Studios?
I like Universal. I go at least once a year. A lot of times it's through friends that I don't have to incur a fee to go. So that's nice.
The best way to go.
But I really enjoy their Grinchmas every year. That's a lot of fun.
And we've talked about Grinchmas on the show before. Actually. Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't change much in a year.
It doesn't. There's not much.
It's always, I don't want to say it's stagnant, but they try and include one new thing every year just to bring people back. You know, it was Transformers. I mean, in the old days, it was Jurassic Park and then The Mummy. And, you know, they try and do one thing every year, year and a half, to try and get people to come back.
And this year, especially with the – and there's another – we'll do that story another time. But they've replaced their Shrek 4D attraction. It's going to be a Kung Fu Panda-themed attraction. Like, they ripped that theater out completely.
Yeah.
I think all of us are in here are – old enough to remember when Universal Studios used to be like four shows and then the studio tram tour and then that was it. So yeah, you're right. They have been doing a good job lately of adding more stuff every year. And so there's that end of it. Let's talk about Hello Kitty.
Yeah, what?
And
Build-A-Bo.
Yeah, the Build-A-Bo thing. Okay, you have
a
daughter.
Maybe not getting in enough women, and they're trying to like increase their female patronage. Like
John brought this up. Hello Kitty is very, very popular. And I think Universal also does a lot of overseas business. They do a lot of tours from Asia. So, I mean, however popular Hello Kitty is here, I think it's more popular overseas.
Yeah, smart move.
So they're trying to bring in the overseas.
Yeah. I think they're trying to add more branding. Now you have a daughter in her 20s. Was she a big Hello Kitty fan? Or
yes.
Did we have any
big
Hello
actually. One Christmas, my mother-in-law got her the Hello Kitty eyeshadow set from Sephora. But that makes sense.
Right. So they evicted Lucy. To get rid of too.
What?
Yeah, so you used to go downstairs in the lower lot where they had the I Love Lucy.
I absolutely.
Oh, that's where it went?
Wait, mm-hmm. Please tell me Lucy's still walking around, though, because she was so amazing on my last trip there.
I think Lucy is. Yeah, the Lucy character is still around.
Yeah, the impersonator was so great.
Yeah, so if you, I'm familiar. So you go down like the four staircases, the four escalators down to the lower lot, right across from the Mummy, there's Jurassic Park, and then right next to Jurassic Park, there was the I Love Lucy tribute for many years.
Yeah.
Which I love. I mean, I Love Lucy is one
guess
of my
guess you just could only get it at the swap meet now.
Yeah, I guess so. But they used to have a lot of really cool exhibits on I Love Lucy and video and stuff. So about a year or two ago, they announced that this was coming. And so it sounds like.
Do you know what the problem is? So we grew up watching I Love Lucy when we were homesick from school.
Sure, yeah.
Our parents watched I Love Lucy. Yeah. We're all like getting too old now, and so they're getting rid of I Love Lucy.
Yeah, there's not as many people. I mean, I think
I'm sure
I Love
my
Lucy's
kids,
still
like,
popular.
If I take my kids there, they're not going to know what I Love Lucy is. I failed them.
Wow, that's
it's Goodbye Lucy, Hello Kitty.
Yes, Diane with a
wall. How long were you sitting on that one?
Like 2 seconds. I'm quick like that. Yeah.
So okay, so on your next trips to Universal Studios. Will you be joining in? Will you be building your bow? Will you be lining up for your ticket to meet Hello Kitty?
I will not meet Hello Kitty, but I will look at what the heck a Build-A-Bow is.
It's like build a bear, but you wear it on your head.
I think,
but
yeah.
Like, how can you build a bow? Like, they're going to teach you how to tie it, and now here you could put this little heart in the middle.
I genuinely.
I'm guessing it's being generated by a computer. You choose the colors, you choose the fabrics, you choose whatever you want. Then they spit it out for you.
Yeah, like a 3D printer, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good idea.
Oh, so they're competing with the Minnie Mouse bows that are collectibles at Disneyland.
Right, like the rose gold bows and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my imagination says that it's probably like a pre-made, pre-tied bow, and then you put your accessories on there. You put your, you know, you choose your color. Again, you choose your color. You put, you know, your Hello Kitty Karopi thing on there. I love, when I was little, I used to love Hello Kitty. My friend's favorite, she was a serious goth back in the, not serious, because her favorite character was Bats Maru. So she used to have everything Bats Maru. Look up Bats Maru if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay.
We're all looking at you blankly like, yeah, what? Just
Google Bats Maru. Okay. So, all right. Well, thank you, Brandis. So we're going to go one more in our news segment, and we're going to kick it over to Diane and some exciting news coming to DCA. Diane.
Yes, a replacement has been announced for the former Cove Bar location on Pixar Pier. When Pixar Pier opens June 23rd at Disney California Adventure Park, guests will discover a new hotspot at the Lamplight Lounge. This seaside lounge will be an elegant yet fun gathering place for the whole family, located at the entrance of Pixar Pier. This seaside lounge contains a full bar with picturesque waterfront views from both up and downstairs. Disney says, at night, outdoor seating provides views of the illuminated Pixar Pier and World of Color. Guests will discover the artistic marks that the Pixar regulars have left throughout the lounge, including concept art, a quick sketch on a napkin, knickknacks, and collectible toys of beloved Pixar characters will adorn this space. According to the Disney backstory, the Lamplight Lounge was renovated from an old warehouse factory. The location has kept many features of the original two-story building. The steel structural elements, as well as concrete and brick walls, are exposed and repaired to tell the story of its past. The original wood boards from the factory were refinished and given new life as ceiling panels and floors. The furniture style echoes a relaxed feel, and the end result is an open, airy, and bright place that is organic yet sophisticated. Longtime fans of the Cove Bar's famous lobster nachos will be excited to hear that once the new lounge opens, the lobster nachos will be featured on the menu along with more California gastropub cuisine and signature cocktails unique to the spot. And just as a side note, fans of the former Cove Bar are invited to stop by one last time as it will reopen briefly beginning March 16th before closing again at the end of May for its permanent transformation.
All right. Will you be there, Chris? Will you be there?
Yeah, no. So thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
And so the first thing that I was going to mention is I loved the Cove Bar. You better carve out 4 hours in your day to start standing in line whenever those, yeah, whenever that thing reopens.
Is it worth it?
You know, it's fun. I think it's, you know, it's.
Or is it already?
So, yeah, I mean, the lines, I mean, the Cove Bar opens at 11 o'clock. There's usually a line starting at 10. And so, you know, the line just gets bigger. And this was when it was just open as a normal bar, as a normal lounge. So, I mean, if you're sitting outside and it's a nice day and you get these, you know, great views of Paradise Pier, and at night you can watch the World of Color show from there. But, you know, I don't know if it's worth 4 hours of my day to hang out and just waiting in line. And it's going to get crowded. Diane, are you a big fan of the old Cove Bar?
I have never been, okay, believe it or not. Wow. With the lines being as long, yeah, as they were, I know plenty of friends who have gone and enjoyed the drinks, the specialty drinks there, and the, of course, the lobster nachos, which I understand are still being served across the way by the Golden Vine Winery.
Yeah, I found that out that the lobster nachos are still around. Which,
yeah, they haven't disappeared entirely.
Yeah, so that should be fun. I mean, the new lounge sounds nice.
It does. It sounds a lot of fun. It sounds like they're trying to take a little bit of the, obviously, the influence of Pixar and its actual location, the studios and stuff like that, yeah, bring it to Disney. I think it's great.
One of the it's also going to take, so the whole lounge, so you're going to have the outdoor seating area, and then the entire place is going to be a lounge. It's going to take over the former Ariel's Grotto restaurant, which took over the former Wolfgang Puck restaurant back in the early 2000s. So yeah, so the Ariel's Grotto is going away, and somebody mentioned that that's the only princess, like character dining. My friend Karen mentioned that in DCA. That's the only place you can go meet a princess in DCA. So I'm wondering if they're going to move that character dining interaction somewhere else where they can move it to. I'm not entirely
Which
sure.
Which princess?
Ariel.
They were all there.
Oh, they were
Ariel,
Aurora.
She's a princess? Ariel?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, really?
Well, she starts out as a fish, and then she marries a
it's
prince.
It's actually a tadpole, and then she grows. But no, yeah, it was all the princesses were there. Jasmine was there. We, having a young daughter when it first opened, we went often and saw the princesses. Even if we didn't eat there, we'd just walk in and she wanted to walk around and see the princesses.
And I've never met a princess, except for my wife, of course. But I've never...
Oh, good cover.
Yeah.
It's quick. It's just as quick as mine.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. Sorry.
The only... and in talking about this on Friday, the only time I've ever been in there is not to meet a princess, but to meet the bathroom on that end of the park. So, and if you sit at the if you sit at the bar long enough, so you had to go down this spiral staircase down into the lower level, which is where the bathroom was. And you tried doing that after sitting in that bar for a couple of hours. That is an attraction in itself.
You know, we should do an episode on bathrooms.
Okay.
Because I could tell you at Knott's Berry Farm where the best bathrooms are.
All right. I'm literally writing that down right now as we speak. Bathroom episode.
I'm looking at you. You're not writing it down.
The magic of radio.
Now he's pretending to write it down. Scribble, scribble, scribble.
No, seriously. Like you go to a theme park and everyone goes to the same bathroom.
You wrote it down.
You wrote it. Okay.
No, everyone goes to the same bathroom and it's crowded. There's a long line. It's dirty or whatever.
Why are you going to give away the bathrooms that have
we'll come up with our favorite bathrooms, because I've got a couple of Disneyland that are just my absolute favorite bathrooms.
That's what I was thinking when we were at Disneyland, is I should ask you where to go. Does literally, any of them have
literally
a mirror?
Literally where to go.
Yeah. Where to go.
There's a bathroom at Disneyland I saw on this guy's vlog where it's like, it has this like really weird, it's like in Critter Country, and outside the bathroom it has like these weird, I forgot what it was, but it has some weird like, I can't remember. Anyway, never mind.
See, we could do a whole bathroom episode.
That was a great story, John. You should tell that at parties. All right. Okay, well, that's going to do it for our park hopping segment. We have been doing a series on the best of 2018, sort of giving everyone a preview of what's coming up, at least in the first half of the year. And then we'll do a summer preview later on. We'll do things like Pixar Pier and the theater opening up at Universal Studios, and just all of those things, hang time coming up at Knott's Berry Farm during the summer. So we'll do a preview of all of the summer things later. So this is kind of like our winter spring preview. And as I mentioned previously, Friday, my friend Karen and I went to the California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. And so this is the final one in our series. And then when I'm done with this, Diane is going to talk about her experiences at the Lunar New Year at SeaWorld, and also give us a kind of a preview of their own food and wine festival, which I don't know if that's new this year. Is that new this year?
I think it has different themes, but they have done it in the past. I remember, we'll probably go into this later, but they used to have the Anheuser-Busch beer garden
a long time ago.
All
right. So Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival returns in 2018. From March 2nd through April 12th, 2018, celebrate the bounty of California with irresistible cuisine, beverages, and entertainment and more. The popular festival expands to 6 weeks, March 2nd to the April 12th. Guests will explore California-inspired cuisine and beverages, tastings and entertainment, plus presentations and demonstrations with celebrity chefs such as Robert Irvine and Alex Garnicelli. If you've ever watched Food Network, you know exactly who I'm talking about. When I was there on Friday, Guy Fieri was actually doing a presentation in the Hyperion. Oh, nice. So Mr. Flavor Town himself. Unfortunately, I had to go to work that day. The event will feature the return of festival market kiosks. Each location offers a unique menu item by fresh California grown ingredients like avocado, strawberries, fragrant citrus, peppers, and artisanal cheese. There will also be an array of locally brewed craft beers and wines from all over California. And that's actually really cool, because this year in the back end of Paradise Pier, where the Garden Grill is and where they usually have the character meet and greets for their various festivals, they've turned that area into a beer garden. So they actually have this big beer garden out there. They have, 32 different breweries represented. So that's actually a lot of fun. They have a junior chef program. Kids age 3 to 11 will be able to participate in a hands-on cooking experience. Junior chef is available on a first-come, first-served basis for children ages 3 to 11. The number of participants for each junior chef is limited. Children under age 7 must be accompanied by a guest 14 or older. And again, celebrity chefs will be at the Hyperion, setting up on stage, demonstrating how to make a few of their signature dishes. And like I said, Guy Fieri was there on Friday. Reservations are required and space is limited for the popular event, and it is recommended you make reservations in advance. The 2018 Food and Wine Festival also features something they're calling Sweet Sundays, which is a special dessert flavored event. They have a winemaker dinner, beer master beer dinner, wine, beer, and spirits tasting seminars, and a culinary demonstration. So rather than sit here and read you off the menu, which we'll put the menu up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our travel partner, my friend Karis Milano, was just out there a couple of weeks ago, and she sent me some of her not-to-be-missed food items and booths for Food and Wine. So I'm going to give these to you guys, and you tell me what you think. Did these sound good to you or not? So at the Citrus Grove booth, Karis recommends you get the Meyer Lemon Macaron. She said it's so good with four O's, so you know it's good. Oh, yeah. So it's a I've actually had this before. This actually is very, very good. It's one of my favorite things that they do there. And I'm
great. Sounds good, actually. Yeah, right off the bat.
So they kept calling it a macaroon, which, as you learned from last week, is not correct. It's a macaroon.
Yeah, macaroon as coconut.
Yeah, there we go. The poke and then the pork with lemon slaw was really good too. I also tried this, and that was actually also very good. Does it sound good to you guys?
Well, so is the lemon slaw? Is that like
it's coleslaw. It's like
lemon.
It's
with
like
a lemon juice sauce. Okay, because mm-hmm. I'm like, are they like putting in zest in it?
Yeah, and then this year also features the AP Sip and Savor Taster. If you're an annual pass holder, you can go over to the what used to be the Rizzo's Props over in the Hollywood Studios area. For $45, you get, I think, 8 tabs, and they're good for anything on the menu and also for non-alcoholic beverages. And we tried the watermelon citrus lemonade at one of the booths, and that was really sweet, but it was really good. So that's actually a pretty good deal if you get things over a certain price point. So if you get everything over $7 with your tabs, then you actually come out ahead like $20. So that's actually a really good deal. Yeah, they have
jokes on them,
right? Although one I did buy one. There's one booth that I wanted something that was like $4.50, and I was like, okay, I'll just, you know. I guess.
Then the joke's on you.
And then they have special gifts for APs and as well as a variety of event merchandise. But the going back to what we said about the pork, yeah, that was really good. And it's actually for like $7, you get a decent sized serving of pork. It's pork and then just a little bit of slaw.
You're saying decent price or decent size for the price. I have to say, I saw on Facebook for the upcoming Boysenberry Festival. On one of the Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, they still don't have the pizza.
I know. Anyway.
Why don't you complain on Facebook then?
Listen to the last episode.
Yeah. No, on one of the pass holder pages, there was like this huge argument over whether their tastings offered you enough food or not. And John and I shared a tasting card and we left full. And then everyone's like, there's not enough food for one person. So I'm just like, you're saying it's a good size, but there's going to be somebody out there who's complaining.
No, absolutely.
Oh, there always is.
Yeah.
So the way the world works.
I have on this one particular card, I have 6 tabs left. I think it's I forget how many they give you. I didn't bring it in with me, but I had like 6 tabs left and I was full. I mean, for $45, again, if you get things at the higher price point, then you're going to leave full. And that was lunch. And
well, for $45, yeah. So you should be.
You should leave full. But let's be honest, it's still.
You're right. You would expect these little.
Yeah, you're
like,
gonna,
little.
And some of the portions were better. But this particular one was just, I mean, it was a healthy serving of pork.
That makes me happy because, a lot of times they don't do that and it's really like a sweet surprise when it's like, yeah, they load it up and you're like, oh man, this is great.
All right. So in the LA style booth, she said everything was great. The chicken slider was really good. The Korean barbecue tacos were really good.
That sounds good. That's
awesome.
This booth is located over in the Hollywood. So it's kind of, there's the main walkway through California Adventure that goes past Paradise Pier and on and over to the Garden Grill area. This one is actually located in the Hollywood Studios backlot area, nice. Across from the stage where they do cooking demonstrations and things like that. We didn't try anything here. We did try the Mexican hot chocolate custard, which was actually very, very good.
Can you describe that to me?
Well, it tasted like Mexican hot chocolate. And it was a custard.
Okay.
It was cold.
It was smooth and chocolatey.
Yeah, it was smooth and chocolatey.
Okay.
I do have one question, though. When you say custard, like, Did it taste like it had an egg base or a gelatin
it,
base?
It tasted like pudding.
Okay, so.
It says,
of a gelatin base, probably. Mm-hmm,
yeah, it says custard, but to me it tasted like pudding. It was very good pudding. And I also don't know, has everybody here had Mexican hot chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I used to actually sneak into the pantry when I was a kid and steal a little triangle and eat it.
Yeah, so I don't know how much Mexican hot chocolate it tasted like.
You're eating shapes? I don't understand.
The Mexican hot chocolate, the abuelita,
yeah.
Yeah, it comes in, it's a circle cut into triangles, and it's individually wrapped, and you heat it up with the milk, melt it. But I would just eat it plain.
The circle.
The triangle.
Oh, okay.
All right. So at they got punny with their booths this year. At Cluck a Doodle Moo.
Whoa.
Okay, say that one more time.
Cluck a Doodle Moo.
Okay, can you change your pitch on that a little bit higher?
Cluck a Doodle Moo.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Which was, you guys ever watched the Match Game, like the old Match Game 72?
Yes.
It's on, you know, like blank a doodle moo. Like, you know, my wife. Yeah, anyway, so.
How dare you?
My wife. the Harris Ranch beef slider, she said, was amazing. It was very good. We were expecting like a hamburger patty, like a small hamburger slider patty. It was actually a like mini piece of steak, and it was delicious. And you wouldn't think, okay, well, it's a mini piece of steak. It's shoe leather. It was the softest.
That is actually what I was going to ask.
Yeah, it was super tender and it was super flavorful, and it wasn't tough at all. You just bit into it and it melted like butter.
So what did they marinate it with?
That's a good question.
Did it have any sweetness to it?
No, it was a very savory.
So not pineapple juice.
Dish. No. I don't. Also, Harris Ranch is known for their beef. You know, Harris Ranch is that stop up, you know, somewhere between here and Sacramento, probably about halfway to where Pea Soup Anderson's is, if you're familiar with California roadside stops. You know, they're known for their tender beef, and they sell it in supermarkets and all that. But yeah, it was really good. I can probably go, like, I'll go get one and drive it to my house. They put it in a cooler. I'll bring it next time.
That's okay.
You please.
So she said the wings were pretty good too. I didn't care for the wings. They had wings there that were like vinegar Parmesan wings, which sounds good, right?
Sounds like salad dressing.
Yeah.
Would do garlic Parmesan, but I don't know if I'd do vinegar.
Yeah. It was, the good news is you couldn't taste either one.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So it was pointless.
Yeah. So it tasted It tasted like dry fried chicken is what
now,
it tasted
that's
like.
That's really interesting that the steak wasn't dry, but the chicken was.
Yeah,
because I thought that chicken, was, yeah. Chicken on bone is really hard to make dry. Like you have to cook it for like 3 hours.
And my friend who doesn't like vinegar was really worried about the vinegar taste. She's like, I don't know if I want to, you know, her sister was there too. So her sister ordered this and she's, I don't know if I want to give, you know, because I don't like vinegar. And so
I used to hate it.
Yeah, some people don't like that tang, like that feeling it gives you in the back of your throat.
Gives you a feeling in the back of your throat?
Yeah, sometimes it's overpowering.
Like it's like, oh,
well, you're
too
numb
much.
To it because of all the abuelita, so.
Yeah. I love it now, though.
But, it was super dry, and you couldn't, she bit into it, I can't taste anything. It just tasted like dry fried chicken, so I'm not a big fan of that. And at Off the Cob. The shrimp tacos and the corn nuggets with chili, she said, and I'm quoting here, the bomb. And she's serious because she sent that to me in all caps.
Corn nuggets, though, sounds gross.
So I didn't try the corn nuggets because it did sound gross.
But it's the bomb, all caps.
So I may have to go back there and try the corn nuggets. The chili wasn't shredded beef. It wasn't ground beef. It actually had chunks of beef in it. And the only thing.
Oh, kind of like a chili Colorado.
Like a chili con carne or something like that. Yeah. So it was like, it was a chunky beef chili. Our only complaint about that one was the corn nuggets were good. The chili was good. But if you put them together, then there's actually too much chili. If you believe that, there was a lot of chili on the corn nuggets, and you couldn't taste The corn nuggets.
What is a corn nugget, though? Because that just sounds like what you find in your toilet after eating corn.
Oh, we're back to bathroom talk. Brandy's got a theme going on here today.
So far, we've discussed Hello Kitty, bathroom habits, and weddings.
And the
before she just, I was literally going to just say my stomach actually growled because of all the food talk, like, made me so hungry. And then, why'd you do that? Like,
have you ever had a hush puppy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that a shoe?
Actually, it is.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right.
But it is also a cornmeal. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cornmeal.
Kind of like a dumpling.
Deep fried. Yeah. Thing. So that's what the corn nugget is. So it's just cornmeal deep fried, and then they put the chili over it. So individually they were good, but the chili kind of overpowered the.
Why didn't they call it a hush puppy?
Because it's. I think hush puppies are something. Else, like they have like certain seasonings in order to be. I don't know.
Real quick,
yes.
Theming was the word I was looking for, like a few conversations back. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great.
So rewind 30 seconds. Yeah. All right.
It was kind of like 5 minutes ago. But
so, like I said, right now we're working on a video of my experience at the Food and Wine Festival. So make sure to head over to our YouTube page, the Vacation Land Podcast, and subscribe so you get all of our latest content. All right, guys. Well, thanks, I think, for that conversation. Do some editing later. So we're going to toss it over to Diane for our final segment. And we're going to do a little bit about the Lunar New Year at SeaWorld. And I just have a little bit on that. SeaWorld's San Diego. SeaWorld's? Let's try that again. SeaWorld. Just the one. San Diego celebrated Lunar New Year in 2018 from February 10th to February 25th. This family fun event celebrating the New Year with Pan-Asian entertainment and food featured the exciting sights and sounds and aromas of Asia coming alive at the premier cultural celebration in San Diego. During this one-of-a-kind festival, the featured attractions were the incredible Chinese acrobat show, they had local performers and artisans. They had specially themed food. Delicious Asian-inspired offerings included stir-fry spring rolls, bao sandwiches, ramen, green tea, and more. 2018 is the year of the dog, so the event featured a puppy garden where guests could watch puppies play, take photos while learning and adopting animals from local shelters. And also coming up this spring, winter spring, is the Seven Seas Food Festival at San Diego. And we're going to toss that over to Diane, and she's going to tell us all about her experiences at Lunar New Year and about the food festival. Diane.
Yeah, the Lunar New Year was very fun. The decorating around the place was great. They had beautiful decor, lots of reds and golds. And, of course, like you said, the little puppies for the year of the dog.
Okay, so I was wondering about that. They put things in there that don't really. So did they really have the puppy garden?
They did. We actually missed it by half an hour, but they had a small area that was kind of grassed off next to the little lake that surrounds the Sky Tower. It was a little like a dog run, and it had little kennels and little fire hydrants.
Is that where they used the bathroom for them too?
That is exactly where they used the restroom for the puppies. Sorry.
It was
so cute. I mean, it's a great idea. And to set up the pet adoptions, and they had lots of information there at the booths and the tables, and people were there to offer a lot of good advice. But it was really, that was really neat. They had the Chinese dragon dancers out and about, and they were phenomenal. Really, really great. And the spirit was really high, and the energy was amazing. But I have to say the highlight for me at the Lunar New Year was seeing the acrobats. At the back of the park in the Mission Bay Theater, they were incredible. We got there earlier in the day, and we tried to get seating at one of the earlier shows, and it was completely filled half hour prior to showtime, which surprised us, but we were like, okay, great. So we'll go back for the final show. We got there early, thank goodness, and there was still standing room only for that show as well. We were fortunate enough to get third row center seating. I don't know how that happened, but we did. And some of these acts, they defy gravity and defy all sense of physics. And
yeah,
just there was one woman who lied on her back and with her feet juggled this giant jar And then they brought out a table and she spun a table on her feet. And it was just incredible. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, they had the traditional things where they had also Chinese dragon dancers in there as well. They had the Diablo spinners, which are like the Chinese yo-yos.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
Cool. I am way not coordinated enough to do those. I tried doing those at Epcot and I almost broke someone's nose.
You just have to practice, Chris. You could do it.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
They also had this gentleman who came out and he was a strong man and he also went up on 10 chairs. They stacked chairs to almost to the ceiling where you couldn't see him above the proscenium. And did handstands on that, probably 30 feet in the air, maybe. They had a bicyclist come out, and he starts going around in a circle, a very small circle, and all of a sudden, 9 more people jump on.
Whoa.
And it's just, it's so precision, so much precision and so much, obviously, practice. But it was beautiful to watch. And I'm just in awe. I'm sitting there, and I have videos that I took, and you hear me. All you hear is me going, wow, 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 oh my gosh, wow, you know, the whole time. So it's probably annoying, but if you'd like, I'll post some of them.
Please do.
Yeah, if you could post those on our Facebook page.
I absolutely will.
That was Chinese acrobats, right?
It was. Yeah, I believe it was Hanbei is the name of the city. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it was just wonderful.
Well, we saw Chinese acrobats at the Seagram Center, and yours sound a lot better than what we saw.
Oh, no.
Was that the Shen Yun?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But yeah, and I think that was most of the acts. And then, of course, they show their agility. The gentlemen, there's a troop of gentlemen, probably 5 of them, where they would jump through rings and backflip through rings and they'd stack it higher and higher every time. And the size of these rings, I swear they're the so diameter small. Couldn't have been more than 2 feet. And they're jumping through them like nothing, like wind. I mean, it was seamless and beautiful. And I would definitely pay extra to see them again. I mean, it was included in ticket price, which was
nice. That's cool.
But I would pay to see them. They were that good.
Well, that's good because for them to do that all for free would suck.
But they did get to go to the puppy farm. So.
That's cool.
I shouldn't say puppy farm. Oh, puppy garden. Totally, garden.
That's
sorry.
That's a totally different connotation that we're not going to go down that road.
Yeah, no, but all in all, it was wonderful. I took a friend with me, and, you know, SeaWorld is great as well. And we went to all the aquariums and stuff. And then we went out for sushi afterwards. So we appreciated them during the day ate them at night.
Yeah, so you saw your food and then you're like, one of those and pick one of those.
You know, it's fresh.
I found the best all-you-can-eat sushi place in San Diego. Just saying.
Oh. What's it called?
Right outside SeaWorld.
Look it up again.
Okay. What was it? What was it called?
I have to look it up.
What was it called, Diane?
Oh my God, you guys, pressure. No, I think it was called A&T.
I'll tell you what, if you can find their webpage, you can post that on Facebook as well.
I will. It was amazing. $20 all you can eat.
Whoa.
Yes. John, can we go to San Diego next date?
We need some damage down there.
There was there used to be here in Costa Mesa 3, 2, 1. Here locally, there used to be a all you can eat sushi place that was really, really good. And then they kind of quickly went downhill. I don't go there anymore. But I always love a good all you can eat sushi.
I think they start out with the right. It's just like the quality has to go down kind of because people like us go in there and we just wreck them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I think they get you in. A lot of places get you in and it's really high quality for about the first year. And then afterwards it goes down a little bit. So, Diane, let's talk about the Seven Seas. So that actually sounds, sorry. Let's go back really quick.
I want to talk about the puppy garden.
Yeah, let's talk about the puppy garden.
I actually was just, what I want to know
the puppy
is
farm.
for the year of the rat, are they going to have a rat garden?
That is fascinating because what happens at the year of the dragon? That's going to be
Komodo dragons.
There you go. Gila monsters, so those, Komodo dragons.
You like salmonella or something.
Yeah, no, that's a little dangerous. They won't let you cuddle those.
The dragons. Or the dragons. The rats.
That's an option.
The rats
probably.
May let you cuddle them.
Well, as we saw in Game of Thrones, there are really dragons.
There you go. So, all right. So let's talk about the Seven Seas Lagoon Food and Wine Festival.
Let's do that as soon as I find my paper thing I was looking at. Sorry. I like just completely the lost seven seas. My place. Wow.
Can you say it all in a pirate voice?
3, 2, 1.
Only so, Chris gets to do that.
So set sail on a taste adventure. Sip and sample your way around the world of international street food traditions and craft beers and wines, and enjoy live musical performances along the way. Waves of flavor will tantalize the taste buds with gourmet offerings created by SeaWorld's executive chef, Axel DeRolf, and his expert culinary team. This event features fresh cuisine featuring local sustainable ingredients and unique signature flavors from around the world. And new in for this year, they are including among their menus something called Daring Flavors, which is presented by Coca-Cola. Guests with culinary courage and curiosity can brave this challenge featuring 14 dishes prepared with some of the world's most exotic ingredients. One daring dish is available at each of the Seven Seas food locations.
Does it mention what the daring ingredients are? Because I know Knott's, during their first Boysenberry Festival, really touted their alligator, their Boysenberry alligator. And I can't imagine.
I wanted to try that really bad during that first year, and I never got a chance because they were constantly out of it.
I like to imagine the ingredient going, come on, do it, do it. Do all it. Right.
So well, some of the popular Coca-Cola product, I shouldn't say product,
I'm
but
sorry, can we call
sponsored?
It, because it said culinary Coca-Cola.
Nice. Oh. We each got 1 point today.
Yeah. It's a dad joke.
But some of them were, a few of the mentions were candied bacon cheesecake.
Whoa. Hold on. I need to process it.
Candied bacon cheesecake. Right? Three of my favorite things.
Those are, yeah.
Nitrogen fromage, which is a minus 320 degree cheddar cheese balls. So that'll be interesting.
You said balls.
I did. And crispy Thai basil frog legs. That sounds
That sounds interesting.
Does it? No.
Frog legs are fine. You haven't
tried
them.
No, not the frog legs. Mixing the Thai
basil?
With the, yeah.
I think it would taste pretty
don't
good,
Don't knock
actually.
It if you ain't tried it.
So looking through the menus online, the menus for this read a lot like the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival out in Disney World. So they have a Greece booth. They have an Italy booth. They have a booth for Spain. They have a booth for Japan and Korea. They have a booth for Jamaica, one for Mexico/Cuba, which is odd. yeah. There should be enough to go individually.
We can beat them all if we join up together.
There's one for France. There's one for Argentina and Brazil. There's a beer garden. They also will be serving wine, beer, and liquor flights. There will also be entertainment available. And it doesn't exactly, it just says entertainment. It doesn't say what exactly they're offering, but SeaWorld usually does a pretty good job. It's going to be offering, they usually do a pretty good job of offering some entertainment. Throughout the Seven Seas Festival, enjoy roaming entertainers and musical performances like Japanese taiko drummers, part musicians, part performance artists. So actually, I love taiko drummers. And you're going to have musical traditions from across the globe. So I think it's a very international flavor to it.
It sounds good. And I do want to add that it is available only on select dates starting Saturday. I think it's Saturday, March 17th. Is that a Saturday? I think. And ending April 15th. So it's a solid month. And they actually offer a food festival tasting preview event on Thursday the 15th for annual pass holders. It's after park hours. It's from 5 to 6:30 where you can taste a lot of the different offerings that will be. It is an additional $39 charge on top of the park admission. But
it's an additional
$39 plus tax per person.
So you have to pay to get in and then
to the preview event. That's on this Thursday.
Oh, I was just going to say I love when theme parks cater to their pass holders, but never mind.
Yeah, I mean they do, but again.
But to pay, because like I know Knott's does things like when they have new rides, they'll do early entry for pass holders, so you get to go on the ride first.
Right, which they will probably. I think they're offering something of that for their new electric eel as well. But I think it's safe to say it's a decent deal when the annual pass itself is only $100.
To you, it was worth it, and you're you're a pass holder.
I am.
You were like, no problems with that.
So if I could make it down there by 5 o'clock on Thursday, I would be there.
Nice.
But no, I can't, unfortunately.
So I'm actually, I take back everything that I said about the menu. That was actually for SeaWorld San Antonio.
I was just going to say, that's not the menu I'm looking at.
Yeah. So so they have a pretzel flavor. So their booze are a little bit different than what I read. It is, so they have pretzel flavors, bacon flavors, which has the candied bacon cheesecake, the pretzel flavors, which features a pretzel crawfish Mary.
Those are the asterisk ones are the ones provided by the Culinary Courage Challenge by Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay. So the bacon margarita also. They have a hand-rolled sushi and sake. And so the
hand-rolled sake.
They have a buzz button sake, which is their culinary challenge. A Mediterranean flavors booth, which features spiced tomato gazpacho in addition to other things. Sustainable salmon. They have a thin Nutella banana crepe.
Sounds amazing.
French bistro flavors with escargot de la maison. Mm.
Have you guys had escargot?
Yes. I have, yeah.
Is it cool? I mean, it sounds gross, obviously, but is it?
Anything's cool with enough butter and garlic.
Okay, I that's keep America eating snails right in my produce box every weekend, so.
That's a
yeah. Bonus. Yeah, but a lot of butter, a lot of garlic, and you'll never know the difference.
Yeah. Then why'd you eat it?
It's a consistency thing, though. You have to be okay with the chewiness.
Is it chewy?
Mm-hmm. It's chewy.
It is.
And this is a dumb question. Is the shell, I mean, I don't know. It sounds
good. It is de-shelled.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's literally
you have to suck it out of the shell. Or
it's
something.
The interior
it's not like a lobster.
Of the.
I mean, yeah,
like a mussel.
Some places places that serve them more traditionally, they give you a little fork to
true.
Pop them out of them,
like in the movie Pretty Woman.
But most of the time, they'll either serve it with bread or they'll serve it just smothered in garlic and butter, and
which is my favorite.
Yeah, everything really should be smothered in garlic and butter.
Tuscan flavors, featuring the tripe Florentine. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah,
when
that's
you say
on the
Tuscan flavors. I think of Tuscan Raiders and like their food.
The Coca-Cola flavors, which is the bursting boba snow pop, and there's many more things. I'm just reading the ones that are on their culinary challenge. The Caribbean heat scale flavors, which is the Duppy Conqueror. And you can
select the other one called the Yaman Jerk Chicken. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
And apparently on that one, you can select your level of spiciness as well. Asian street food flavors, the crispy Thai basil frog legs, which we talked about. Peruvian ceviche, black pepper marinated strawberries. They have a South American flavors, which features a Peruvian ceviche. Nuevo Baja flavors. Chili lime chapulines tostada. No idea. The island fusion flavors, featuring the Lava Rock Grilled Pacific Oysters, Pacific Rim flavors featuring rice paper and quick pickles. No clue. Okay, so.
Look at him go.
It's
go, quick pickles.
Those are some quick pickles. All right, Diane. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And we will go and move on to corrections and retractions.
Well, this is new.
Our first correction comes from our discussion last episode on Camp Snoopy. Camp Snoopy actually opened in 1983 and not 1993, as previously stated. Also, in our discussion on Knott's Berry Farm's Return of the Sky Cabin, we had a discussion on the tallest building in Orange County. The tallest building in Orange County currently stands at 323 feet and is located at 200 Spectrum Center in the city of Irvine. This eclipses the previous winner of the tallest building in Orange County award, the 315-foot office building at 520 Newport Center Drive in Newport Beach. Corrections and retractions. All right, well, we'd like to thank you for joining us this episode. We certainly hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, you can connect with us on all of our social media platforms, on Facebook at facebook.com/vacationland, on Instagram at VLPodcast, on Twitter at VacationlandPC, and don't forget to subscribe to our new YouTube channel, The Vacation Land Podcast, where you can see our trip to the Lunar New Year Festival. And upcoming, we're going to be loading videos of our trip to the Knott's Berry Farm Boysenberry Festival, as well as our recent trip to the DCA Food and Wine Festival. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Diane. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacation Land.